I want to start with the story this morning, though, of Joe and Mary Fenton-Toms and two of their children, Niall and Aoife. They were in the house on the night of Sunday morning, early hours of Sunday morning, I should say, January the 8th. The Fenton-Toms family lost everything when a lightning strike destroyed their home in Wingafuca in Carrolake. Their older children, Ciara and Niamh, were not in the house. Mary Fenton-Toms spoke to Radio Kerry's Tracy Murphy.
To be honest, it's a whirlwind. It almost feels it was 6 weeks ago, either this Sunday. I actually have lost all concept of time, if I'm being totally honest. It's either 6 weeks this Sunday coming or 6 weeks Sunday just gone. I can't remember which is which now. I know it happened on the 8th of January. In some respects, it's surreal because you go to bed at night time and it's the last thought in your mind of the things that you need to achieve the following day. And then in the morning you wake up and you kind of think, oh, I feel okay today. And then suddenly you remember that the reality of why you're not in your own bedroom kind of hits you. And I think we're only where we are today because of the support around us. I actually don't think I would still be standing or be able to speak or tackle the tasks that I have to do each day, or my husband being back to work. I don't think any of that would have been achieved had we not had the support in the initial stages and ongoing right the way up to today.
How supportive have friends and neighbours and family been?
When the fire hit our home, myself and my husband and my son Niall and my daughter Aoife were in the house, and my son and my husband didn't realise at the time in my daughter Niamh's room, she wasn't home that weekend. They didn't realise when they seen the fire in the corner of her room to the gable end facing the road that the fire was above them and not limited to that wall. We heard a huge bang. It was like a nuclear explosion. It actually felt so loud that it actually didn't feel like it was our house. It felt like it had come from further away. It was like an explosion.
And this was in the middle of the night, wasn't it? You're all in bed, weren't you?
2:19 a.m. That's everybody remembers it. Everybody remembers waking and looking at their clock and seeing 2:19 a.m. And that was people in town. We're 4 kilometres from town. And I was downstairs in my bedroom, and suddenly I realised the electricity was out, and the first thing that crossed my mind was, which is ludicrous, because I didn't realise the lightning had hit our house, and I didn't realise that my husband had gone upstairs to see whether everything was okay upstairs and to use the bathroom upstairs, because in the middle of the night I sleep badly at the moment because I've had a lot of sickness in the last sort of 18 months. So he went upstairs to use the bathroom and passed Niamh's bedroom door, which ordinarily would have been closed had Niamh been home, and seen flames coming through the corner of the wall. And I remember lying in bed thinking the turkey's going to be ruined if we don't get the power back on. And then the next minute I heard Niall shouting, "Dad, we can't and I came out of the bedroom door, and Aoife was in the hallway, and she sleeps downstairs also. And she said, "Mum, the house is on fire." And I remember Niall running down the stairs, shouting, "Get out, get out." And Aoife was saying, "Shall I phone the fire brigade?" And we both shouted at her, yes, she's only 16. And she said, "What number do I call?" And Niall went, 999. And I said to Niall, "Where's Dad?" And he said, "He's upstairs." And I said, "We've got to get him out." And I was shouting, "Joe, Joe." And Niall was shouting, "Dad." And he wasn't answering. And by this point, the whole house was full of acrid smoke. Niall had his mobile phone on, and you couldn't even see the torch. And Niall just told me to get out, and I said, "I can't, Dad's upstairs." I think Niall was going to go up for him, so I said, "We'll go up together." And Niall held on to Niamh's room handle door, and we were reaching around, linking hands, trying to find Joe. And we just kept calling. And I don't know, had he inhaled too much smoke or was he in shock? I touched his elbow and we got out, all of us. And then we realised that the cars were on the driveway and the keys were in the metal unit in the hallway. And that's just inside the porch door. I'm telling everyone our secrets now. They won't be there anymore. And we grabbed the keys and moved the cars off the driveway because we thought of the fuel tanks, that if we could limit the fire, at least if the cars weren't there, there was no more fuel. We parked the cars across the road and we sat in the cars. I could see our house and it was spreading along the whole top of the roof line. And then the next minute, the whole lot took off and we seen our neighbour Mike, who lives directly opposite us, Mike O'Callaghan, and his son Owen come running out the driveway. And they couldn't see our car then below initially, and they were looking across the road, and then they went to make a dash across the road to our house. And I know what they were going to do because that's the sort of people they are. But we roared that we were in the car. The next minute, all our neighbours, Deirdre, his wife, my cousin Liz, they all came out and they said, have you called the fire brigade? And they just kept trying to affirm that Kira and Eve weren't in the house. They kept saying, is everybody out? Because they could only see the four of us.
Because your two older daughters were away that weekend. It was just, it was you, your husband, and your two younger children.
And ordinarily, they come home almost every weekend. And the only reason why Kira wasn't home was fuel costs, because they got so expensive that coming up and down from Cork, where she teaches, was just becoming, you know, a bit much every weekend. The fire brigade arrived and Deirdre and Mike opened up their home to us, and we were in their front room and I kept trying to go to the window and they'd drawn the curtains. And my son and daughter said I fainted. I don't remember this, but they said I fainted. The guards had turned up. They must have come with the fire crew. I actually don't know. I can't remember. But the guards were swift in their attendance. They were there almost instantly. It was a lady guarder and a male guarder. And when they seen my son and husband, I hadn't even looked at their faces. They were black. And where they'd been trying to fight the fire, they had black faces. All up their nose was black, in their mouth was black, all around their lips. And the guard said that an ambulance had to be called. And I refused to go to the hospital. I just couldn't leave my home. But the ambulance crew came. It seemed like they were there in seconds. And I was adamant I wasn't leaving, even though they wanted me to go. So they took both of them. Yeah. They were anxious that both of them were seen as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And they left with them almost immediately after checking me and Aoife over at Deirdre's house. And then the guards were backwards and forwards liaising with the fire crew. Deirdre's home was destroyed. People were coming across with muck and water, and I kept saying, your carpet. And she said, Murray, it doesn't matter as long as you're all safe. And then Damien Quigg arrived. I think he was the chief fire officer. And he asked me, was there anything of very important value to me in material terms in the home? And that day I had cleaned my bedroom and I remember moving this little jewellery box that I have that has not valuable, but brooches and things that the kids would have got me, and brooches that my mum, who's passed away, had given me. Again, not monetary value, but sentimental value. And I was trying to explain to Damien which dressing table they were on. And he went across and he got them for me. And I know that he put himself at risk because the flames were still engulfing the whole building. And Deirdre and Mike stayed up all night. My cousin Michael and Lynn, who started the GoFundMe and came on Radio Kerry, they arrived at the house at Deirdre's with my uncle Donny. They took over, basically, between Liz Fenton, Michael and Lynn Fenton, Deirdre and Mike. They took over and they made me go to bed, myself and Aoife, at 7 o'clock in the morning. I didn't think I'd sleep, but I did actually. And I remember waking up at 11 o'clock in the morning and pulling back her daughter Siobhan's curtains. They'd given us clothes. They'd said to have showers. And I got up to a breakfast that Deirdre had made for everybody that was helping. I opened Siobhan's curtains and hoped that it had been some sort of nightmare. And I pulled back the curtains and realised that it wasn't a nightmare, that it was a reality. And by that point, there was cars everywhere, outside Deirdre's, in her driveway, outside our house. And everybody was moving, whatever they could try to save. Jo and Lyle were back from the hospital at this point. And it was almost like, you see this thing when they're trying to like evacuate or move piles of rubble from an earthquake and they have a line of people passing. That's almost what it looked like, because people were trying to save anything that we could go through and maybe find something that wasn't burnt or that meant something to us. Then Hawes Machinery down the road had been in touch with Deirdre and Liz and said whatever was coming out, they opened up a container for us and said to bring everything down there, and everyone with vans, Brendan Moriarty, Dan Clifford, our neighbours. There's an ESD guy who is married to one of the Knightleys. He was there helping. I don't actually even know who was helping because they wouldn't let me go across the road because I was in such a bad way. And then I got a message from someone in Coolglen saying that we needed to get onto the insurance company and to get ourselves a loss adjuster. And they recommended a Kenneth Lenehan in Phoenix. They said he's a good guy. In the meantime, Deirdre and Liz and Michael and Lynn had hundreds of messages from people offering us beds and somewhere to sleep, somewhere to eat, food, jumpers, blankets. And when I say hundreds, that is not an exaggeration. And then we had to ring Kira and Neve and tell them what had happened to our home.
Your two oldest girls who were away.
Yeah. Kira and Neve had already heard, I think, by the time we reached them, or they had certainly heard there was a fire in Minifook.
Yeah, we're hearing from the interview with Mary Fenton-Toms, who lost her home when it was hit by lightning in the early hours of Sunday morning, January the 8th. She was speaking to Radio Kerry's Trasa Murphy, and Trasa asked Mary how she's feeling now.
I'm fine, and the reason why we're fine, and that there are just some people that I haven't mentioned that have been crucial into why we're fine, is that firstly, my aunt had a holiday home here and she allowed us to move in there temporarily because there's a massive housing shortage. So we're here temporarily, hopefully for a couple of weeks. And then a lady called Sandra O'Mahony is trying to sort out somewhere for us to stay. My husband's employer, Schneider Electric, his manager, Vincent, gave him as much time off as he needed. I think Joe might have had 3 or 3.5 weeks. They paid for vehicles and paid for 4 of his work colleagues. They paid their wages for them to come down and help Joe clear stuff. I work for Fexco, although I'm currently off sick since my surgery and with a further complication. And within days, a senior manager, Nick Waitman, who's in the UK, he contacted me, and it was the reassurance of their support, knowing that our jobs were safe and that they were looking out for us and trying to get us as much financial support as they could. That meant a huge deal to us. John Healy from JP Healy, our insurance brokers, who we do our car and home insurance through, the Tuesday, I think, he phoned me and told me that he would personally be dealing with anything to do with our... They've always been amazing in there anyway. He actually called me and said he was taking control of our case. And Kenneth Lenehan and his engineer, Chris, that have basically given us the kind of will to keep going every day. His name is Chris Donovan, from DL Group in Cork. And together they've been working basically to make sure that the examinations and the necessary things are done in the background, and liaising effectively with Aviva, who are our insurers, to make sure that the scope of repairs are, or the scope of the works required are done correctly, and that any future in that house isn't compromised. What we're being told is that the main structure is close to a total write-off, and they are finalising the scope of repairs Now, understandably, we're all concerned that this means demolition, which is a real possibility. I did work in finance in the UK, and because I was ill last year, although I knew a cost of living crisis was occurring, I never thought this lay ahead of us. And so I wasn't probably as on the ball as I would have been any other year because of being off sick from work. But I was always, to some degree, assured that we were on an index link policy. And what I want to share with people who have donated to us is your home is insured for a certain value. Ours was insured for $360,000. Now, naively, people might think that's just your home. But actually, that covers your boundary walls, your garage, your driveway, your paving outside. So if all of those things survive, which in our case they did, that comes off the value of your building's insurance. So we might look like we're insured for $360,000, but everything that survived is valued and deducted off that sum before they can even start to look at what they're going to give us to replace our building. And index linking is normally a thing that protects you to some extent in normal circumstances. And we're in extraordinary circumstances right now, in so much as the cost of living and the cost of raw materials have never risen so rapidly. So whether index linking is playing its normal role at the moment is questionable, I suppose.
Your friend Lynn Fenton, who's related to your family through marriage, when she spoke to Jerry in January, asking and thanking people for their support for you. Since the lightning strike destroyed your home, Lynn was making the point, and you were making it there as well, that because of increasing building costs due to COVID, general cost of living increases, your family's insurance won't cover the full cost of rebuilding your home.
Either our tents or our building, we're probably in total short between the two of about €170,000. It could be €140,000, it could be €170,000, because final figures haven't been agreed on the rebuilding cost yet, or whether it has to be demolished. But what we do know for certain is that whatever the outcome is, we have to, if it has to be demolished, we have to apply for planning permission for it to be demolished. Tony McGrath from TMG Architects in Killorglin became aware of this last week when I put this out, that this was what we were facing. And him and an engineer that he works with, Brendan, they have agreed to give us their services free of charge, including site inspection and all the drawing. With him and Kenneth and Chris the engineer and Brendan the structural engineer, all of those people are taking control of things that we have no area of expertise in. I don't think people realise how easy it is not to be uninsured, and that's what I need to let people know. My advice would be, first, with regards to your contents, no one has time to go through every drawer and itemize everything. But what you can do, because in our case, all our receipts were upstairs in the cupboard in the hallway. That cupboard's gone. We have no receipts for anything anymore. And trying to recollect in this haze at the moment, everything that we had in the rooms, like I've realized my wedding dress is gone, christening robes are gone, things, linens belonging to my mum that my dad said I might as well have, because he would never use them again. They're gone. Now, they're irreplaceable, even if I'm given the money for them. But the things that are replaceable, I suggest tonight everyone goes home and walks around their house and has a photograph or a video of each room in their house and sends it to their Gmail account or somewhere where it's safe. They will have photographic or video evidence to fall back on. Phone your insurers. There's a website called, I think it's SCSI. If you go onto your insurance policy document, it will have it on there, and it will recommend that you link up on there. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't have Kerry on there. It tells you to choose the nearest county. So in our case, we chose Cork, and it asks you to put in how many bedrooms you have, the style of property you have, whether you have a garage, and it will give you a broad indicator of what your sum insured should be. Now, if you contact your insurer and you're already insured for, say, $360,000, if it's telling you to insure for $450,000, that might be just €50. I'm plucking this figure out of thin air, but it won't be much more, I'm very sure. that's €1 a week. That's less than half a cup of coffee from Super Value or Champs, who okay. done our bucket collections.
So you're so saying over a year it would only work out at €1 a week?
€1 or €2 a week. All it will cost you to make sure yeah. you don't face the scenario that we're facing now.
When you were talking to me off air yesterday, you want to say even though your loss, your family's loss is immense, you're also grateful that no one lost their life or no one was seriously injured as a result of this.
That's the one thing that keeps you going every day. Although we've lost material things, we've got what's important. We've got our family. But more than this, we have a whole community that's behind us. And the ISK school, Margaret and Eileen.
For anyone not from Clorglan, that's the intermediate school, Clorglan.
Yeah, that's where Aoife attends. Margaret and Eileen, the secretaries there, they've organised a school bus for Aoife to get from where we are currently, because we're not in Clorglan. The school done a fundraiser with the parents and teachers and raised a huge amount of money. Skolvreda in Middleton, where my older daughter teaches, they've been amazing to her, giving her time off and financial support. My daughter's at UCC and on placement in a pharmacy, doing her master's in pharmacy, Neve, and they've supported her. My son's at Mary Eye, and he's been supported there. He's doing primary school teaching. But above all this, our neighbours, and I have to get this across, Gerard Nocton and Sons don't know us. Our children know their children. They run some sort of haulage firm or concrete firm. They're just outside of Clorglan. They have provided us with trailer after trailer of empty trailers to take stuff away, dispose of it. They will not take a penny from us. They have probably saved us over €10,000, and they put €1,000 into our GoFundMe. Paul Fitzgerald, a builder who does concreting, he has a concrete firm in Killarney. Paul Fitzgerald from B&F Select, my dad worked for him when he was here. He donated €1,000, but more than that, he's put us in contact with businesses who are willing to give us discounts on raw building materials when we go to rebuild. Our builder, Patsy Moriarty, our stonemason, David, they've come when we've called it short notice. Dan Clifford up the road, he's a farmer. He came down with a JCB. He brought a JCB, and Darren Moriarty and Callum Moriarty, two boys up the road with Dan Clifford, used the scoop on the JCB to clear out everything that belonged to my family. We've lost a massive amount materially, but we have gained a massive amount. We never had any idea. Where our house is built belonged to my mum's ancestors. My mum was from Mingafuka, my dad was from Mingafuka, but they didn't meet till they were in the UK. I never realised how much a part of the community we were till this happened, because it is, to use the word humbling is an understatement. Radio Kerry, the Kerry newspapers, everyone has just supported us, has shared our GoFundMe to help us. And even if everyone who hears the advice I've given today about taking the photographs, if they share that with a friend, the Viva were out to us the day after the fire. They attended so quickly. And for that, I'm grateful, because at least it meant that the ball got rolling very quickly with regards to our insurance claim.
And finally, Mary, and thank you for this, people can still go to the GoFundMe page if they'd like to support. If they Google Clorglan family Fenton Toms lost their home.
And I know that most of the community directly here in Clorglan, and people in the UK who my family know, and people I knew, I know they've all supported us. But if they share that one bit of advice with someone who doesn't know us, and that person thinks it's worth just €1, if they just put €1 in, that €1 times 400 will mean the difference to us buying something or getting our home built, even if we're without the material things inside. All I want is my home back for my children and us. And I know we'll get there with all the support we have. And I just want to express my sincere thanks, because we are truly grateful and we are humbled, and we will always be indebted to people for their kindness and their support.